Find, if you would, in your Bibles, two passages of Scripture today. One's in the Old Testament, one's in the New Testament. Find, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 31. And find, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 31, 2 Peter chapter 1. Put something, if you would, please, in 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll get to that at the end of the service as we will finish up with that great truth in that passage. I put the title of the message this morning in the bulletin, also with some of the verses there. And I'm preaching a message today entitled, Who Can Find a Virtuous Woman? It's Mother's Day. The message is not just for mothers, it's for all the ladies today, and it wouldn't hurt the men to listen a little bit as well. I do believe you'll find instruction and edification in there for you. But I'm preaching from this chapter that's well known. I did something in preparation for this service that I've never done before. I tried to think like a woman. I guarantee you, I will never try that again. But I said, Lord, I don't want to preach from Proverbs chapter 31. I tried not to preach this message. I wanted to go to Timothy and talk about how a mother would be remembered. And God said, no, you're going to preach Proverbs 31. I said, but God, you don't understand. I don't suggest that. God understands perfectly what he does. He said, son, you don't know and you don't understand. You're going to preach Proverbs 31. So what I do when I'm preparing messages is I'll get that passage and then I'll read that thing a billion times. I can actually read it in my sleep. A lot of times I can almost quote it, and I'll wake up and I'll think about it, and throughout the night, and I'll points actually come to me while I'm sleeping sometimes. Don't you try that out there. Many of you must try that and think that the points come to you while you're sleeping out there. And I said, God, I don't want to do this, but I kept running into a roadblock and my thoughts were just disconnected. I said, okay, I give up. What do you want? I want Proverbs 31. I said, I think we'll make the women mad if we preach Proverbs 31. He said, well, if you preach it right, they won't be mad. They'll be glad. I said, okay. I was afraid that just the very announcing of the chapter would kind of spark a little bit of frustration in the ladies. If you are a lady who knows the Bible, you know the theme or direction of Proverbs 31. Sometimes it's referred to as a Proverbs 31 woman, or it's referred to as the perfect woman. And I am finding that instead of this passage of Scripture exalting a woman in the Lord, it's bringing a little bit of frustration and a little bit of heaviness. It's bringing a little bit of disparagement and a little bit of discouragement to the point that some of the mindset, even for godly ladies, is that they're discouraged by womanhood and even a little bit more discouraged by motherhood. What has happened is the esteem of our women has just been annihilated. A person without esteem is a person in a very dangerous position. You're in a very vulnerable position. A person without esteem is a person without peace. They're a person without purpose. They're a person that's blown about. They're a person that will find themselves doing anything and hanging with anyone just so they could feel a little bit important. I've got some news for you today. God deems womanhood and motherhood very important. Very important. And because we have forgot where we find our esteem in our lives, there is a negative approach to being a lady. There's a negative thought process to being a mother. It's not negative in the fact that it's hated. It's just negative in the fact that it's not enjoyed the way it should be enjoyed. So what happens is, when a preacher preaches Proverbs 31, a frustration builds in the mind of the child of God that says, I don't want to hear what I have to do. I don't want to hear how much harder I have to work. I'm working as hard as I can. I don't want to hear how much more I have to labor. I don't want to hear about that perfect woman in the Bible. I'm not perfect. I understand that. We're not perfect in and of ourselves, but there is a perfection available to us in the Lord Jesus. And so people are looking at, or ladies look at Proverbs 31, and they get angered by it. And then what happens is, once a woman comes to an understanding, or anybody comes to an understanding, that they have no esteem, no value, no valor, no strength, no integrity, or nothing, then they just seep into this resigned position of, this is who I am, accept it. And we're not really happy with who we are. We just don't want people bombarding us for our faults or bombarding us for their perception of what we should be doing. And so I'm finding that instead of there being the joy of being a lady, and by the way, men, a lady is a beautiful person, is she not? And instead of there being the joy of motherhood, we've kind of stepped back from that. Now I'm your pastor. I'll eat dirt for you. You know that. But I want to help you today, and I'm going to bring the ladies to a spiritual truth that's going to exalt you and lift you, and Lord willing, if God will enable me, it's going to bring you to a position of rest today that you may not have ever known. The passage opens up in verse number 1. If you read verse number 1 of chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. We find right away that this passage is available and a great passage on Mother's Day. We do not know. Scholars tell us they don't know who King Lemuel was. There's no recorded king of the nation of Israel with this name. Some of the Bible scholars feel like this was a pet name, a nickname given to Solomon by his mother. You might have a nickname by your mother. Some of you might have two or three of them, depending on the circumstance. But we know that this guy had a mother that was precious. And right in verse number 1, we are introduced to one of the greatest ministries that a mother has, is the ministry of teaching. This mother is teaching her son. By the way, that's every parent's responsibility, to teach their children. This mother is teaching her son what the Bible calls in the book of Proverbs, the law of the mother. The book of Proverbs was written to a young man, and I'll talk to this in just a moment, and it's written to young people to direct them on the right path of life. Proverbs is all about two paths. There's the path that leadeth to destruction. There's the path that leadeth to life. This woman is teaching her son the law of her, or the law of God, that will lead him in the path of righteousness. All parents are to be teachers. Now, I'm learning that as my kids grow in school, I'm learning that I don't know as much as I thought I knew. I can help Allie with her second grade homework. I'm pretty good there. Madison comes in with that algebra too, and I'm lost. So I heard her go to her mother the other day and say, can you help me with algebra too? My mother, my wife, being just a loving and supportive wife, go ask your dad. Madison's response to that was, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Listen, you may not be able to teach your kid geometry, algebra 2, chemistry, physics. I couldn't teach my son how to fix an engine. I can't teach him how to do certain things. But every parent in this room that knows God should be able to teach their kid the Word of God. That is a responsibility you have. This woman was an effective teacher. By the way, you will be an effective teacher. You will just be either effective for positive or for negative. She's so good at what she's taught her son and so influential in teaching that now the king is teaching what he learned from his mother to the next generation. And by the way, that's why it's important to teach your kid the Word of God. That's why it's important to teach them the Bible, because this Bible has not nor will it ever change with generations. It is the forever settled Word of God. It will be passed down throughout the lineages of your family. So the woman taught the young man the Bible. She was his mother. She instructed him. She's teaching him a couple of thoughts. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. She's teaching him not to be to give himself to women, not to be a whoremonger. Give not thy strength unto women. Now, if this was Bathsheba, she would understand. If this king is tied to David and to Solomon, they would understand the infidelity of a man. And she doesn't want her boy to be like that. She doesn't want him to do that. If you look down at verse number 4, she also doesn't want him to be an alcoholic. Don't mess with wine. So she's teaching him and instructing him the Word of God when it comes to the women of his life, or the woman, as you'll see in a moment, and in the area of wine. Why in the area of wine? Because if you look at verse number 5, she says that wine is a perversion and it affects your judgment. Verse number 6, she says, give strong drink unto them that are getting ready to perish. Let them drink their sorrows. Verse 7 says, give it to them, let them forget they're poor, let them do whatever they want, let them go hide in the Bible if that's what they want. But not you, kid. I want you, in verse number 8, to open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. I want you to have a love for people. I want you to have an integrity. Verse number 9, open your mouth. I want you to be able to judge righteously and plead the cause. She wanted her son to be an asset. She wanted her son to be righteous. She wanted her son to have integrity. She wanted her son to be able to develop as a young man. And so she's teaching him. And what is she teaching? She's teaching him the law of the Word of God. In the course of that, in teaching between the two paths here, she says, oh yeah, by the way, son, in verse number 10, who can find a, say that word, class, virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. That word virtuous is a military word. It's a word of valor. It's a word for strength. It's a word for honor. It's a word for integrity. She's saying, now, son, there is a woman out there who is tremendously valuable. And it's not these women that are just after you sensually. There's this woman here who is a virtuous woman. Now, these women over here, they look to have value because of what they're immediately offering you. But they're not valued above the rubies. The virtuous woman is valued above the rubies. Now, here, ladies, please listen to your pastor. Here's where we've messed this thing up beyond measure. Here's where we're frustrated to the point that we have no esteem or no value in the position of being a lady of God or a mother of God. We have been teaching this, that for the next 22 verses, this is a description of what a virtuous woman is supposed to do. Matter of fact, the Bible scholars tell us from verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter, Every one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet are used here in succession with each verse. So I could really come to this passage and say this: the perfect wife from A to Z. The perfect wife from A to Z. The traditional mindset of most of our ladies has been that this is some standard of perfection, and this is what I have to do if I'm going to be considered virtuous. And by the way, any lady that loves God wants to be virtuous. So here's what has happened. Our ladies have set off in a blaze of glory, and they have labored and they have worked and they've done all they know to do. They get up early, they stay up late, they're caring for a husband who doesn't care like he should. They're caring for children that are tough, and they're trying to work, and they come home and they try to work, and they're trying to put this together and put this together and do this and this and this. And they're all under, and they're under the drive of, I've got to do this for God to be pleased with me. And instead, they're beginning to hate God, and they're beginning to be frustrated in that. And so The problem always comes when people make a mistake with the Bible is you forget something. You forget something called context. You cannot read the Bible and not understand context. You cannot just reach your hand into the Bible and jerk out a verse and say, blah, 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 okay, I'm going to live by this verse. You have to understand why that verse was given and why that verse is there. It's something called context. A woman who's here today and your esteem has been annihilated, and the frustration level of trying to be virtuous and trying to do all of that, and the last thing you want somebody to do is tell you you have to do more, is a person who's been reading this out of context. Are you with me so far? Okay. Remember this. Write it in your brain. Write it in your Bible. Write it somewhere. The context of Proverbs 31 is not a mother teaching a daughter what to do. Repeat that with me. It's not a mother teaching a daughter what to do. No mother in this room should take Proverbs 31 and tell your daughter, this is how you behave. That's out of context. The context is, this is a mother teaching a son what he should be looking for. This is a mother teaching her son two paths to life. This is a mother that says, boy, women will bow down. They will do whatever you want them to do. There are women that are going to throw themselves to you. There are women that are going to claim for your strength. There are women that are just going to be what all that they can be, and it's going to be they're going to have favor. But remember, favor is deceitful. They're going to have beauty, but remember, beauty is vain. Son, let me tell you something. There's going to be that direction. They're going to come with all the invites of the world, but the Bible says that path is destructive. I don't want my son to be destroyed. I want him to have integrity. I want him to be a man of God. So don't go that way. There is a path. There is a beauty. There is a grace. There is a womanhood and a motherhood that is virtuous. It's valorous. It's strengthful. It's dominating. It will thrill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Look for that woman. Here is a description of her. Hold on. I'll just read real fast. These 22 things. I got 10 minutes. She's rare. She's honest. She has fidelity. She constantly loves. She's industrious. She's thrifty. She's self-motivated. She's enterprising. She's hardworking. She's scholarly. She's concentrated. She's compassionate. She's prepared. She's dressed. She knows how to behave herself in public. She's an entrepreneur. She's secure in her own skin. She's kind, she's faithful, and she will be praised. Now, to the average Christian woman, they think, I have got to do all of these things to be virtuous. It's not a mother teaching a daughter what to do. It is a mother telling a boy that when you find a virtuous woman, she will thrill you from A to Z. She will complete you. She will complete your home. She will complete your children. She will complete every area of your life from every direction you went. Son, don't go this path. There is a blessing for you in a valorous woman, and she will complete and thrill you beyond what you could ever dream. Now, God made us, amen? God made man, he made them male and female. God made a man to be a protector and a provider and all of those things. When God made a woman, he made the woman to be a completer. God put them together. What does that mean? That means you will never know the full sense of worth and value if you don't fit where God made you. And so as a man, I want to be where God made me to be. And as a lady, you find your satisfaction in how God made you, because believe it or not, you did not come from a monkey. You didn't evolve. You were created by the hands of God. He made you in his image. He made you perfectly. And so God knows how we tick. And he put us together. And this mother is telling this boy, there is a woman out there that God has made as virtuous that will just absolutely complete you beyond your dreams. You want that woman. What we have done is we have said, girls, you got to go out and do everything this woman has done or you're a failure. And we find real fast that apart from Jesus Christ, we can't do anything. So what happens is the lady that embarks on that, she runs into a brick wall. She runs into an ability she can't find. She runs into a position of frustration and hatred. And pretty soon her esteem is just annihilated from her. It's not a daughter. It's not a mother telling a daughter what to do. It's a mother telling a son what to look for. It's a mother telling a son that this woman is going to affect every area of your life. Now watch, if you would, as I close this thing. Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that, what are those three words? Feareth the Lord, what? The mother is not telling the son to go out there and find a woman who can keep a good house. The woman is not telling a son how to go out there and find this virtuous woman, and she's described this way by her deeds. The virtuous woman is a woman that fears the Lord. Ladies, that's what he's saying about the passage. He's not telling you to work your fingers to a bone. He's not telling you to labor in that kind of your own ability. He's telling you that virtuous woman, that woman that is esteemed higher than a ruby, that woman that will fit in her way that God made her in that completion, is a woman that fears the Lord. What does that mean? She has a heart to know God. She has a relationship with God. It's developed. It's cultivated. It is a reality. And she's so satisfied spiritually that it bubbles forth and bursts forth in her life. Listen, you will never be satisfied physically until you're first satisfied spiritually. Ladies, in order for you to ever please your husband, and some ladies say, God, Pastor, all I want him to do is recognize me. Just say thank you one time. They're crying, they're weeping. In order for that to ever happen, there has to be first your relationship with God. Virtue's not in what you do. Virtue is in Jesus Christ. And our women have got it so backwards. We're out here trying to care for the home. We're out here trying to drive the kids. We're out here trying to do this. I say we. I'm not a woman. You're out there doing this and you're out there doing that. But you got to develop that relationship with Christ. And then in that walk, in that spirit, when you find your esteem in Him, when you find your value in Him, when you find your merit in Him, when you find your joy in Him, when you find your purpose in Him, then as God ministers in your heart, then through that relationship, you begin to be perfect, A to Z, as God works in you, and then God works through you. And God's people said, amen. We've been looking at it wrong. And we've got women who don't even want to be a lady anymore. We've got mothers who don't even want to mother their own children anymore. They're so frustrated because they think they didn't measure up to something, some standard that God has for them. No. It begins with being saved. It begins with walking and serving and knowing the Lord. Pastor, are you sure that's enough? Would you look at verse number 29? I'm almost done. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, what class? Excellest them all. See, here's what the mother taught the boy. A woman who fears the Lord and has a relationship that is just seasoned with God's grace and she's filled with God and that relationship is fervent and vibrant, that woman excels. Many daughters do well. When the Bible talks about many daughters, he's talking about Miriam. He's talking about Deborah. He's talking about Hannah, Shunammite woman, Esther. There were women all in the Bible that had moments of flashes of brilliance. Most women think, well, I'm not good at anything, and I'm not great, and I never did this, and I didn't win any of this, and I'm not a public speaker, and I'm not this or whatever. And we look at these women that speak at conferences, and we look at these women, and we think they're something special. God looked at this woman who had that fire relationship with the Lord and that fearful and servant and private devotion, and God said, yeah, a lot of women do good things, but the woman that has that relationship with Christ, she excels in that. We don't even know her name. But God knows her name. And if you read that passage, she's satisfied in herself. Her worth is in the Lord. Her esteem. The heart of her husband trust in her. She's satisfied in her man. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her home is cared for. Not because it is a duty that she has to do to be virtuous, but it is a delight that she does because of the virtue of Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Peter. This is our last verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. I didn't get any breakfast. I'm getting hungry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. According as His, that His is Jesus Christ, divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, that's Jesus, that hath called us to glory and to what? Virtue. Where does virtue come from? Let me ask you this way. Who does virtue come from? Comes from Jesus. Don't you remember when the little woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, and she touched the hem of His garment and Jesus stopped and Jesus said, wait a minute. I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. The average Christian woman thinks that she is virtuous because of how she orders or how she does or what all her works are. But lady, you'll never survive that. You will never survive that. You better understand that virtue comes through Jesus Christ. Then the Bible says, add verse number five. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be, what's that word? Barren, nor what? You know, you can have children and still feel barren. A lady can have a husband and still feel alone. A woman can have a big job but still feel unfruitful. Barrenness and unfruitful are words that ladies understand. So, lady, listen to me. If you're trying to somehow deliver yourself from the feeling of barrenness and unfruitfulness by trying to work to be better, to clean better, to live better, to get up earlier, to stay up later, to do this, to do that, you know, I just got to do this because it makes him happy. I got to do this because I know this. And I want to try. If you try to do all of that, you're never going to survive that. That's not what Proverbs 31 is. Proverbs 31 is a woman that is saved and secure in Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship comes the valor of Christ, comes the strength of God, comes the virtue of Christ. And out of that relationship, she's influential in every area of her life. No wonder the mother said, now, boy, when you're looking for a wife, don't look for a pretty one. We'll leave that alone, amen? Don't look for a skinny one. Don't look for a rich one. Don't look for a sensual one. When you look for a wife, look for a woman that loves the Lord, secure in Christ. She'll thrill you from A to Z. And the reason she'll thrill you from A to Z is because Jesus has thrilled her from A to Z. Amen? Ladies, rest in Christ. Develop that. Walk with Him. Know Him. He's precious. Shall we pray?